I certainly want to thank all of you for being here today. 60 years is a long time, and I don't mind telling you I have a lot of wonderful memories. Grateful to God for what all the Lord has done. And I have a picture on the front of my Bible. You can't see it from there. But the picture is one of my wife. And most of you knew Rosemarie. And she was a very tireless worker. She did so many things around the building. She was constantly there. And we had a marvelous marriage. And just a few years before the 60 years started, we had quite a few years together. And when I got out of the Army, shortly after that, Rosemarie and I got married. And we had a marriage that I think would say it was God-blessed. And I look back at it, and I'm thankful for it. There's an awful lot of things I have that I'd like to say, but of course I'm going to remember the time. As you folks who have come any length of time, you know that I've always been, one of my characteristics is I like to close on time. And I have done that over the years. I can say thank you to all of you for being here and for making this day a success. I can say to you that I've had a lot of things happen, and over the years I've come across a lot of bloopers. And I think comical things are good to remember. And some of these I'm going to share with you right now. And the sermon this morning, I'm not talking about us here, I'm reading what the sermon about is in this particular article here. The sermon this morning, gossip, the speaking of evil. The closing hymn was, I love to tell the story. And looking back at some of the humor over the years, 22 members were present at the church meeting held at the home of Mrs. Marcia Crutchfield. And Mrs. Crutchfield and Mrs. Rankin sang a song, a duet, The God Only Knows Why. We want everyone to know that safety is one of our priorities. Driving slowly on church property, the sign read, is a necessity, or we may have to install bums on the driveway. They meant to say bumps, but that was a legitimate mistake. And as I think back and look over the many years and the things that we've had to share in, I'm thinking of one of the things that the Bible reminds me of, and that's the greatest verse that's possible, and the greatest possible love. I want to say some of those things to you this morning. I want to get a couple of things straightened up here and tell you that the great verse in the Bible, of course, if I were to ask you that, you would say it was John 3:16. And probably you are correct, the greatest verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Looking back on life and looking back on the things that I have experienced, I've experienced the time of telling that story of the greatest love many, many times. I not only had the privilege of having the jail ministry, I remember when the sheriff of Macomb County was Sheriff Olmstead, and I remember his calling me one time after I'd been over to the jail to speak, and he called me, and if I would come over, ask me if I'd come over and see him. He wanted to talk to me. But I didn't really know Sheriff Olmstead, but I appreciated his kindness, and I went to Mount Clemens and met him in his office in the police building over there. It has since been rebuilt and new, and I remember meeting with him there. And he asked me if I would like to take the ministry, have the jail ministry. And for the next 12 years, from 1961 or so, until about 1973, I was able to go to Mount Clemens and preach every Wednesday at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And they were kind enough to let me go back into the cell blocks. And they were kind enough to let me preach anything I wanted to. I would take my Bible with me because the guard's responsibility was to always to check the Bible. They wanted to see if there was anything inside. Anyone would come in. Not that they might have been worried about me. I think I had gained their trust over the years. And so I gave them the Bible to look at regularly and every year for 12 years. And I look back at that as being one of the highlights of the ministry. I look back at those that made decisions for Christ. Not only those that made decisions there, but also those over the years. I'm grateful for that. Over the years, I have preached about the greatest possible love that there is. Now, I understand something about the love of a wife for a husband. I had the good pleasure of being married to a wonderful woman. And the preacher mentioned a little while ago about the things around the building, and she did so much of the work around here. I can still see her on the four-wheelers, two or three high, where she and Barbara Lyons, and they did so much of the work up there. And I could name just a lot of other people along the way. I can name the times that I was able to see her do the work in using varnish before the paint was put on the walls here. And I look back at that and I wish it were possible that she could be here. I wish it were possible that I could recount with you the story as to how we met. I wish it were possible for me to take the time, but time doesn't permit. But I will try to tell you something about the great story of the Bible. In John 3:16, the greatest possible love. I think in life I have known the meaning of love. In life I have known a wonderful wife. I wish it were possible. But as you folks know, she passed away a couple of years ago. I miss her dearly. I miss those whom we have known. Those of you who began with us, if not 60 years ago, maybe 40 or 30 or 20 or 10 or whatever. Thank you. Thank you for making it possible for us to come together and sit here in the house of the Lord. Thank you, choir, for what you do every week and the time involved. Thank you. Thank you for the fact that you come even to hear me preach when you know that I'm the speaker of the day and you still come. I thank you very much. I look back over the years and I see this greatest love that I mentioned. It is a divine love. It is God's love for us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. Are you looking for rest today? Are you looking for the peace of God that is beyond comprehension? I'm grateful for what the Lord has done. I'm thankful for the Lord and what he has done. I'm thankful for some of those whom I have come to know. I'm grateful as I look back over life. I've known a lot of people who have been involved in the work here. I look back over the life and I think of what God has accomplished. I want to say thank you to those men who have done so much to help keep this work going. I'm grateful for the deacons that we have had. The Sunday school teachers. I'm thankful indeed for the blessings of the Lord. And as I look back and see what the Lord has done, I want to tell you some things about the thing that God has done for us. He died on a cross that we might be saved. He died that we might be born again. He died that we might have the truth and the trust of salvation. Looking back, indeed, we say, thank you, Lord. I not only think it's the greatest possible love, he gave the greatest possible gift. See, he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son to die on the cross. We're grateful for that. We thank the Lord for his grace to us and for his mercy to us. We truly indeed thank God for that. I'm thankful for the privilege of being able to be here. Several weeks ago, when the preacher asked me if I would preach on the anniversary Sunday, I told him it would be a privilege to be here. And looking back and remembering this, I say thank you. And thank you when you knew that I was going to speak, you still came. Thank you. And looking back over life, I'm thankful for the goodness of God and the mercy of God, the greatest possible gift. I spoke a moment ago about the greatest possible love, the greatest possible gift. You folks have given me a gift. It's sitting over here, close to my granddaughter, Anna, and she's watching it, protecting it for me. Thank you, Anna. And thank you for the gift. And I look and see what the Lord has done and what God has been able to accomplish through this church. We owe no money. And one of the things that I was going to say this morning, and I hadn't gotten to it yet, when this church was begun, we could have bought not only this 3-acre piece of ground. We have 3 acres of ground here. We could have had the area all the way over to this first house, and there were about 10 acres. And if we had had $15,000, we could have bought that as well as the $10,000 we paid for this 3-acre piece of property. We own everything here from the canal road back beyond the large field to this complex of homes out here. We could have bought all of these homes out here very close to where we are. You go up the back of the parking lot, you'll see a lot of the apartment buildings there, and over to my left, to your right, we could have had all of those for under $15,000. For this particular piece of property, the Lord gave us this property, and we paid $10,000, and we do not owe any money on it whatsoever. Looking back over the years, realizing how this area has changed so dramatically. Auburn Road, which was M59 going through Utica, it makes the bend just beyond Cass Avenue and goes up 100 yards and makes another bend onto Auburn Road. Auburn Road was indeed a piece of property that was called M59. Utica High School was what is now Epler High School. That's part of the change in this area. We, Rosemary and I, moved to the corner of Auburn and Woodall Street. I don't remember the exact time, but we moved over there so we could have a church there. And we not only started the church, and we began the work, and we saw the growth, and we look back over the years, and in that particular house, we had not only Sunday services for a long period of time, but we had Monday visitation and Wednesday night Bible study for about 5 years. That's a long time. Looking back over it, we remember how the construction on Hall Road and Van Dyke continued, and there was there were no restaurants. Not that Rosemary and I went to them. There were none in Utica at that time. That's how dramatic the area is in its change. We look back over the years. We thank God for what he has done. The town of Utica, when we began this work, had 700 people. Most of the houses did not have running water. They did the same thing that Rosemary and I did. We got our water out of the Clinton River. You say, you did a thing like that? Yes. It was that way we had water. Utica not only had its 700 people, but Shelby Township had just barely over 400. Shelby Township, 36 square miles in Shelby Township that extends from Hall Road out to 26 Mile Road. All of that property there, they had just over 1,000 people. Sterling Heights in those days wasn't called Sterling Heights. We were Sterling. Sterling Township. And in Sterling Township, we had less than 1,000 people. That's how dramatic the area has been in its change. Looking back and seeing what has taken place, it's hard for you to imagine a town like that. But as we look back at it, we are thankful and grateful for what the Lord has done. The Lord has made it possible for us to be here. We have people who are in full-time service, not only in the country, but overseas. We're grateful for that. And you've made all of that possible by your presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, not ending with T-S, but you've done that with your presence. Thank you. And thank you that I can be a part of this 60 years. Thank you that I can be here and remind you of what the Lord has done. And the greatest possible deliverance that we could possibly have is that in Jesus Christ. We go on to read in God's word that God does not want any person to perish. He does not want any person to perish. He wants you to have life and to have it more abundantly. See, you need to be saved. If you've never trusted Christ, you need to make that decision. Simply, you ask the question, how can I? Very simply, God makes a plan for us, and that plan is he sent his son to die on a cross. He died that we might be saved. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I like that. I'm glad that somebody some years ago, Brother Randy and I were talking about this a little bit earlier when we were having breakfast or lunch or whatever we were eating downstairs. We were talking about the marvelous changes and how life has so completely changed in so many different ways. You've helped to make it different just in your commitment to the things of God. I look back over the years and I see how the Lord has been so gracious. If you've never made a decision for Christ, I encourage you to do it. I encourage you to do that today before it's too terribly late. I look back at life and what we've seen and what we've had done together. I'm grateful. I remember just about the time I went into the Army, and that's a long time ago, folks. We're talking about the early 1950s. At that time, I hadn't known any of you folks. I knew Rosemary, though we were only engaged. We did not get married. And I would say this, that the period of time that we live in today, we need to consider the fact, and if any of you are considering marriage, you get married and then you live together. I know it's a different thing in our culture today, unfortunately. But God has a plan for us, and that plan is that we love him and that we serve him. God indeed made a plan for us. He sent his son. I believe this, and as I said at the beginning, I said at the outset, God the Father pledged eternal life to any who will receive it. Because God the Son has promised it, he offers it to you today. He who is the truth said, I will come again. One of these days, he's going to come back. Am I anxious for the Lord to come back? Are you? Surely you are. And that day is going to come. I don't know when. Because God and the Holy Spirit has affirmed it. In 2 Peter, if you'd like to turn in your Bible to 2 Peter, we'll read this as a portion of Scripture. I'd like to read to you just one portion of the Word of God of 2 Peter chapter 1. And if you'll find that, I'll read these words to you. The Spirit of Christ testifieth beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 11, the glory that shall follow. I was looking while we were singing some songs this morning. I do this. I have my wife's picture right here on the front cover of my Bible. And I was looking at the picture, and I said somewhere along the way, I said to Rosemary, now nobody could hear this, I said it very softly, I said to her, the picture, I'm looking forward to seeing you. I'm looking forward to seeing her. As a pastor, you get involved in a lot of heartache. One of the heartaches that I have seen and been a part of, I've conducted over 700 funeral services. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, that's a lot of funerals. That's a lot of people to stand next to and try to say some words to comfort those that are there. I'm talking about people that were friends, people that were family. I'm talking about people who I know for a long time. 700 times we've been standing by their casket in the graveyard. The final words are said. Some of them were your parents. Some of them were, as in Rosemary in my situation, some of them were your own sons or daughters. I remember, Paul, when your brother Bob died. What a heartache that was. I remember going into the home. I'd been over here at the building for something. I think Paul and I had been to a fellowship meeting up in Flint. And when we got back, I got a phone call. I went to the house, and Bob was dead. He died of a, we don't really know why. And just the other day, just Thursday or Friday of this past week, I drove up to the Prestonville Cemetery on 25 Mile Road, almost to Hayes Road. And I stood there in the cemetery. One foot was on Bob's grave and the other was on Rosemary's grave, and I stood there. Now, I know I can't bring them back here, nor would I want to bring them back. I stood on their graves side by side, and I just said, thank you for the years, Rosemary, that we had together. Thank you, Bob, that you made that decision for Christ a long time ago. I'm going to see both of them. Not this afternoon. I don't know when. But I'm going to see them both again. This is the message that has been preached and proclaimed from this church building, from the pulpits across the hall and downstairs, from the pulpit in the smaller building next door, even before this building was a picture in our eyes. I don't know how many people that we've talked to about this marvelous promise. The Holy Spirit has promised it. The holy angels have foretold it. In Acts chapter 1 are these words concerning the Holy Spirit. In plain, unmistakable words, these mighty creatures, the angels, proclaim the same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner, the same Jesus. God's going to send Jesus back, the Son of God, to take you home. Are you ready? If you're not, why don't you get ready today so when the time comes, those sitting around you will welcome you on the other side. I'll welcome you on the other side. The angels have foretold it, and holy men of God have by inspiration declared it. It's been a declaration. Been a declaration again and again. And I'm grateful for the opportunity. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost in 2 Peter chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. And you can take my word about Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. God hath anointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man which he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a message that has been preached. This is a message that has been proclaimed for 60 years. How much longer do we have? I don't know. I mentioned a little while ago that I've stood by the gravesides of 700 people. That's a lot of people. Some of those were your family members, your loved ones. Some of them were my family members, my loved ones. I'm grateful. I really am truly grateful. I'm grateful that day came many years ago as a young man, looking back in life. And again, I say Randy and I were talking about a few of these things downstairs as we were eating breakfast this morning. I'm reminded of that time when I came home, and you want to know what bad times are. Going to the army during war or so-called police action, as they did in Vietnam, as they did in Korea. Some of us can testify to what those types of things are like. And I can say to you this morning, in Christ, you can have life. Someone invited me. I'm so glad that I want to receive Christ. I'm glad that, so far as I can say this, the truth of the matter is, I can look back and remember when I met Rose Marie. She became a real tower of strength in my life. Maybe there's someone in your life that has become a tower of strength. That person sitting next to you, the song leader sitting a couple rows in front of you, Pastor Paul sitting perhaps a couple of rows beside you. They can tell you what I'm talking about. This morning, you can take Christ. You can take Jesus. I can tell you of family members in my family who have never done that, who have never taken the Lord Jesus. It bothers me. I can't change it, nor can anybody change your situation but you. God loved you. God sent his son to die for you. Because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the promise of assurance. He's going to come back. Acts 17:31 says, God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And you'll find that scripture in the book of Acts and also in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. We need to make a commitment to our Lord, a commitment of loyalty. Jesus died for you. May I encourage you today to make that decision for the Savior. We're going to stand together, and I'm going to turn the service over to Pastor Paul, and I'm going to have the organist and pianist return to the instruments. I'm not sure what they have in mind to sing, but I do know this, that in Christ, you can make that decision today. And may I encourage you to do that. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for your love. and all that you've done for us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for these blessings in Jesus' name. And if that person here is burdened, perhaps, to come to Christ, may that person make that decision even now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.